You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once tore his ACL playing chess, Pete Chwaba.
Hey, welcome back to Nightlight, folks. It is time for Act 2 of this Wednesday night edition of Nightlight. One of my favorite nights of the week, I might add. Aaron Sommers is riding shotgun, producing the show, working the board, making the wise cracks when necessary. Rob Thomas is my current guest. We will be back with Rob in just a moment. If you missed hour one, head over to civicmedia.us, and it is stored there in podcast form. So you can hear our talk about Valentine's Day, part of our interview with Rob Thomas, all kinds of fun stuff. Check it out at civicmedia.us. And we talked about, there's no more Bob's Bad Breath Burger. So maybe they've replaced it on the menu. We did find out that gem of a burger is gone from the Weary Traveler Freehouse there in the Atwood neighborhood of Madison. But I'm sure they've got something else on the agenda. We talked about the burger competition here by the Wisconsin Beef Council. Did I get that right? The Wisconsin Beef Council is kicking off their third annual Wisconsin's Best Burger Contest this Friday. All the details are in hour number one in podcast form, so check it out, folks. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite Winter Olympic sport? I say ski jumping. Rob Thomas said the luge or the bobsled. Crazy sports. Aaron Sommers said, what did you say again, Aaron?
The slalom.
The slalom. Yeah, the slalom's cool too. All these high octane sports seem like they happen in the Winter Olympics, and that's why I think I prefer the Winter Olympics. So great guest tonight, folks. As I mentioned, Rob Thomas is here at 6:35, the host of Civic Media Mid-Mornings and comedian, Milwaukee-based comedian, Greg Bach will be here. We'll talk to Greg and find out. We'll have a little comedy talk, some movie-making process talk. I was a guest on Greg's show earlier today, and we'll carry over that conversation a little bit. And then in hour number three, we'll have two guests. Mariah and Michael will be here from the Door County Film Festival. They made a music video together, which I'm excited to see. The Door County Film Festival will take place at the Northern Sky Theater all weekend. It's going to be a blast. I'll be there. Hope you come on out and see some great films and, be part of the fun. Q&As at film festivals are outstanding, and it's great insight into the movie-making process. So if you can get yourself out there, come on out and join the fun this weekend. What did I miss, Sommers? Are we good? We caught up? I think we're caught up. I think we got to get back to Rob Thomas, who is waiting patiently from his home. Also bummed out about the Bob's Bad Breath Burger no longer being there, but we're making ourselves feel better by talking movies with one of our favorite film critics. Rob, we talked about Crime 101. And by the way, if you want to see all of Rob's reviews, they're at Not That Rob Thomas Substack. He does a great job. Every movie that comes out, it seems like it's there, and Rob has a great review of it. So you liked Crime 101. That's opening this weekend. I want to ask you about another film that I'm pretty excited to see. And just for the premise alone, Cold Storage. Tell us about Cold Storage.
I haven't seen it, but I'm also excited. Oh. Partly because the screenwriter is David Koepp, who's a UW-Madison graduate. And this was originally a book he wrote. And now he's written the screenplay for this. And it looks fun. It's like a lab outbreak that this kind of mutating goo that gets out into the community. Liam Neeson continuing his comedic turn in it. And there's a Joe Keery from Stranger Things. It looks fun. I mean, it looks like the kind of horror comedy, like a Shaun of the Dead type thing that I really like. So I'm excited about it.
My bad. I thought you had seen that. Georgina Campbell is in it. She was in Barbarian, which was really good. She was good in that. So, yeah, a great cast. And Joe Keery, this is not much of a departure for him. seemingly from Stranger Things, but he's one of those guys. He's got like a mystique or an aura around him, like a Woody Harrelson or a Sam Rockwell. He's just like that guy that people just seem to really dig.
And he's probably as famous as a musician with his band. I think they're called Joe. Yeah. So yeah, he's running hot right now.
He sure is. So all right, Cold Storage. I'm trying to think what you saw. Send Help, right?
Did not see Send Help. Did you see it?
Oh, I did see it.
What did you think? I really want to see it. I love Sam Raimi. Yeah.
I do too. And this is vintage Sam Raimi. It's got, you know, you see the trailer and you think, oh, it's a girl getting even with her boss, but it doesn't quite play out that directly. So he takes you on these little tangents that are really good and you kind of don't know what's going to happen. It's a good film. The reviews, it definitely earned very good reviews. And yeah, there's a couple jump scares in it, and I dig it. So we'll talk about that next time. So yeah. What else have you seen that you really like? You mentioned the Nirvana movie.
Yeah, this one, I guess it's pronounced Nirvana because there's an extra N after. Yeah, and it has nothing to do with Nirvana, the grunge band from the 90s.
Okay.
It is a comedy duo from Canada, and they have a band called Nirvana the Band. And they've had a web series since 2008, the premise of which is they're trying to get their band booked at this little club in Toronto called the Rivoli. And every episode, one guy comes up with this one crazy scheme and, you know, and then it plays out from there. And it's sort of a mix of like mockumentary and almost like Jackass, like pranks, because they're talking to real people on the street as they're doing this. And I mean, I'll tell you, I thought this was the funniest movie I've seen in a long time because it just goes places that you never expect. And I mean, like the first opening scene, they parachute off the CN Tower in Toronto, planning to land in the baseball stadium next door. And I don't know how they did it. Like, I don't know how they did it. It's just incredibly, it's like Jackass, but with more apologizing because it's Canadian. That's what I said. So I've seen other people who didn't quite vibe with it, but to me, it was like and I saw it in a packed audience, which is like the best to see a comedy. And people were just hooting and hollering. So I highly recommend that if it's playing near you.
That will not be a wide release, will it? Or is it?
I don't know.
At least not this weekend.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. It's Neon, which is sort of an indie distributor. They've had some, but I guess it probably maybe word of mouth will keep that spreading to other parts of the country.
Funniest movie of the year, folks, from Rob Thomas. That's high praise. He is our guest right now. We're talking movies. He does great reviews at his Not That Rob Thomas Substack. All right. The other one I'm excited to talk to you about, Rob, is Good Luck, Have Fun, Don't Die. Tell us about this movie. I've read some reviews. It's reviewing like crazy.
Yeah, and then I didn't really like it. And I was so surprised because I love Sam Rockwell, who is the lead role. He plays like a guy from the future. It's sort of like a comedic Terminator where he comes back to our time and says, AI is going to destroy the world. I need a team of regular folks to stop it before it goes live or whatever.
Yeah.
So great premise. And the director is this guy, Gore Verbinski, who's, you know, has made some great movies like the original The Ring and the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie, but has not made a movie, I don't think, in a few years. And he's a great, like, visual stylist and very playful. But the script is just so obvious. Like, it's like scenes where, like, oh, kids are on their phones, so they turn into zombies. Or, like I just was...
Oh, really?
I was pretty let down by it. Because, like I said, I like Sam Rockwell. I hate AI. This should be right up my wheelhouse. But I was kind of disappointed, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's a drag. I wanted to like it. I love the title, and then but I tend to agree with you for the most part on movies, so maybe I'll put that on the back burner. But tell us about a classic retelling of Dracula, Luc Besson's Dracula.
Yeah, goofy take on Dracula that makes it more like a romantic drama. French. It's like very French Dracula. Christoph Waltz is great as sort of like the Van Helsing, the priest. He's the best part of it. But it's just a weird movie. It's not even really a horror movie. It's sort of like, a gothic romance. Dracula has these, like, in his castle, he has all these, like, little animated gargoyles that, like, he sort of, like, grew in the Minions in a strange way. It's very weird. I mean, it's almost worth seeing just because it's such a weird take on a story you've read or heard or watched 50 times before. But I can't really say I recommend it.
Okay. Have you seen the Cliff Booth trailer?
I did.
What did you think? I mean, the trailer looks cool. A trailer doesn't always tell the story, but I thought it had a great energy to it. But what did you think?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, David Fincher is directing it, and I guess he co-wrote the screenplay with Quentin Tarantino because Cliff Booth is a character, Brad Pitt's character from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So I'm definitely interested. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I could, same. Like I said, I couldn't really tell what the plot's about, but it looks interesting.
Do we know when that's coming out, ballpark?
Is it summer?
Is it summer? Okay.
Is it, or is it sooner? It's Netflix. I really hope they put it in theaters.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Jeez. I really hope they put it in theaters.
By the way, quick update. I looked into Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie, and it is in theaters around the state starting tomorrow and this weekend. So check your local listings because it's at least playing in Madison.
That's great. And this is the weekend to see it when there's like a decent audience because it is so fun.
You guys... That movie will not be playing in Marinette. I'm telling you that right now. I'm got my fingers crossed, but I'm not getting too excited. It
gets the Pete boost. Maybe it'll play.
Yeah, right. Last one for you, Rob. You reviewed this film, The Night Nurse, that you saw, or it's right out of Sundance.
Yeah,
looks pretty cool.
It was neat. It's this virtual. So Sundance will have this virtual option where you can like stay home and stream movies for like 3 or 4 days. So I saw a bunch. And this one was really interesting. And the other Madison connections, the editor is this guy, Alex Jacobs, who lives in Madison. It works at like 4-Star Video, the video store, but he's a great editor. And it's this weird sort of creepy, I guess I would say thriller about this woman who works at a night nurse at a memory care facility. And she gets caught up with this con man who's one of the patients. And you're not quite sure, is he actually have, you know, dementia, or is he sort of this like a con? And he pulls her into these phone scams he starts doing. It's really atmospheric and interesting. Now, that's a very small movie. That one will probably not play Marinette, I have to say. But
what a jip.
But, you know, I don't think it has a distributor, but probably will come to streaming at some point. But definitely worth seeking out if it does.
All right. And real quick, we have about a minute, Rob. Sure. Greenland 2 or Wuthering Heights, either one of those?
I'd see either one, yeah.
Okay, you haven't seen either one of them, though?
I haven't seen either one, but I'd see either one, yeah.
Wuthering Heights is supposed to be like a softcore porno flick.
Okay.
Supposedly very steamy.
Something they show on the wall at the Dangle, maybe?
Yeah. Perhaps, when you're there with your best girl on Valentine's
Day. That's right.
Absolutely. hey, buddy, this is always fun. Thanks so much for your time, as usual. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, Pete.
You got it. All right, that's Rob Thomas, folks. Check out his work at CityCast Madison. He is the newsletter editor and does a great job there. And his movie reviews are available at Not That Rob Thomas, a Substack. So Google that and check him out. Nothing plays in Marinette Summers. I went to see, it's like, what did I go to see the other day and it was already gone? Oh, the 28 Days Later, the third one.
Huh, that's gone already?
Yeah, that movie was made for Marinette people. We'll figure it out over the break. We're coming right back, and I'm going to tell you ways you can save money just in time for Valentine's Day, folks. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight, and it is great to have you here, folks. I hope you're having a wonderful evening, putting the cares of the day behind you and joining us for some movie and TV and comedy and music talk, as well as all things Wisconsin. We are doing it all here tonight. It was great to talk to Rob Thomas. Aaron Zommers is producing the show tonight. And I want to talk about this, Zommers. This, it's called the Run Nation Championship. It's where these two dudes back up and run at each other full steam, head on, they call it. Some guys lead with their head and try to knock each other out. It often ends in someone being completely knocked out. There is no skill. I'm sure there's some type of art form to it, but they are just two massive humans running at each other full steam.
Yeah. So, you know, football, right? So yeah. Imagine if there were no rules and no safety right. equipment. It's just the part where you get CTE.
Just the dangerous parts. Yeah. Exactly. And I, you know, I used to be a fan of MMA, and now it's hard for me to watch it, mostly because of the fans. I still, like I've mentioned before, I took martial arts for years. I really appreciate the art form and what those guys do in their training. It's a brutal sport. There's no doubt about that. It's just the fans that bother me with their affliction t-shirts. And they're just thinking they have some type of ownership over something they don't even do. It's really hard for me to watch those events because of the fans. However, this, at least when you watch boxing, the Sweet Science, MMA, you also had this sport, Zommers, which made no sense to me, the power slap, where two dudes, or women in this case, stand opposite each other and wind up and slap each other as hard as they can. And they try to get the pressure points, the line right along the jaw. And they often do. And somebody is just out. So this is even more barbaric than that, because it is just two massive objects running head on. And if you want to check it out, folks, it's Run Nation Championship. Google that. You just won't even believe what you're seeing.
Right. As much as I'm talking crap about how dangerous it is and how people are going to get hurt, I'd be lying if I said it's not fascinating to watch and kind of hilarious. Like the slap thing you watch and they do the slow motion recap, just this giant hand and the face, just a wave as it slaps across in slow motion. It is funny. Exactly. There's just the part of your brain that always thinks that kind of stuff is funny.
It is. And I'm more fascinated. I would love to have someone on the show who does this. What, and is it because you have no athletic ability, or is it because you think you're strong and you're stronger than other people? That's probably what plays into it the most. They're solid. I mean, there are some human beings that are just more dense than others in multiple ways, but like running at each other, it's a serious injury every time you do it. And the concussion, and like you said during the break, and they try to couch it like, oh, well, we're making this as safe as we can. There's nothing about it that's safe.
Right. I remember reading the article that you sent over, and they were talking about making rules of like, oh, you have to hit each other kind of on the side or whatever, instead of going fully head on and colliding heads. But how much of a difference is that really making? Are they even actually doing it? How do you enforce that? If it happens, it's too late.
It doesn't look like they're really even enforcing it either. So there you go, folks. Check that out. If you're looking for a new combat sport, Run Nation Championship. There you go. It could be the next big thing. I found this the other day on, I think this was on BuzzFeed, and it said, here are some ways you can save money that you maybe haven't thought about. Because right now, folks, we're dealing with some serious inflation. We've got all of that happening. Things are very expensive still. Here are 7 moves you can try that will help you save money. You ready for these, Zommers?
All right, let's go.
Okay, unplug your electronics. TVs and game systems pull power even when they're off. Smart power strips make it easy to shut them all down at once. Do you do that?
That's a big one. Yeah. Same thing with phone chargers. I never, ever leave my phone charger plugged in.
You're saying like even when the phone's not plugged into it, you're still getting charged when something is in an outlet.
A very small amount, but yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Number 2, seal up any air leaks. Drafty doors and windows let money escape. Use some weather stripping and caulk to keep your heated and cooled air inside. I think you rent, right?
I do.
Do you pay your own heat or utilities?
Yeah, some of it, yes, like water is included, but we pay for gas and utilities. So yeah, we are careful about leaving things open or having the temperature at drastically high or low temperatures.
Well, there's another one. Turn down the water heater. Most people set their water heater to 140 degrees. Dropping it to 120 degrees saves energy and still keeps showers hot. That's a good one. Number four, plan all your meals before shopping. This is one that I need to do.
That's a huge one.
Huge. A simple weekly plan to cut down on food waste and impulse buys. Absolutely. Number five, cancel subscriptions. Keep only what is necessary. I've said this for the longest time. The best thing about streaming is you don't have to sign a year contract. You can buy something for a month. I'm trying to practice this. Right now, I probably pay 120 bucks a month for streamers, and I'm trying to get better at just canceling something, getting it for a month, watching two or three shows, and then moving on. That's a great one if you can do it, folks. Number six, make do-it-yourself cleaning products. Vinegar and baking soda clean just as well. I don't see myself doing that.
Sometimes it's helpful. You know, like if we have a dish that's particularly caked on or burnt, we'll soak it in vinegar for a while, and that usually helps
really
break things up.
Oh, wow. And you live with dudes.
I do. I do.
That's impressive, dude. Here's another one. Skip the heated dry cycle on a dishwasher. I do that anyway because I'm like, just let it drip dry. But that's something I bet a lot of people don't even think about. That's a good one.
I do that as well. Or I run the dryer on usually just air dry. And a lot of my clothes, I've stopped running through the dryer at all, and I'll hang them up. Now, it depends how much you have to wash at a time and if you have the space to hang
right.
it up. But
yeah,
any little bit counts, a lower heat or anything like that.
When I was growing up, people used to still hang their laundry in the yard. And I'm like, yeah, why? When did we ever get away from that? Red light districts and hanging laundry, folks. Two things that are part of days of yore. Hey, we are coming back. And when we do, Mr. Greg Bach, the host of Civic Media Mid-Mornings, will be here. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I was trying to find songs that mentioned Greg, and the only thing I could find is the one by the YouTube channel called The Guy Who Sings Your Name Over and Over.
Oh, I love that.
There's a song by Tori Amos called Pretty Good Year that has my name in there, but it's far not happy enough for this time of night.
You're a Greg, though, dude. You don't strike me as a Gregory. Does anyone call you that?
No, honestly, they don't. One person called me it once, and I was surprised, and I kind of liked it because she was someone of, like, merit and respect, and I was like, you can call, and I meant that like respectfully. She's like, Gregory, I'm like, you can call me that. That sounds right coming from you. Like, that right. sounds very professorial. And no one ever called, not even my mom when she's upset with me.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Hey, that is the voice of Greg Bach, ladies and gentlemen. He is the host of Civic Media Midday Mornings here on the network. He does a great job, and we are extending our conversation from earlier because I was a guest on his show. So we're talking tonight. And we thought we would keep things going here. It's great to have you, Greg, and thank you for jumping on. And beautiful Kenosha, the city of the future. I stick
yes.
to that.
All right. I love it. I'm here for the future. I'm here for now. I'm here for a while. We bought a house.
Okay. I love it. And better than Racine?
I mean, that's sort of that's a hot topic, Pete. What are you doing to me, man? Seriously. I've lived in both. I've lived in Racine, Caledonia, Kenosha. I'm a southeastern Wisconsin kid.
For sure.
I was born and I was raised here. I've lived in this region all my life. I've lived in all four of those counties. Racine is really nice. I would say this. Racine has more going for it than they are willing to admit, and I think they have a lot of good future ahead of them if they get some good development, things like that. I mean, they're right on the lake, and there's really good stuff, and summertime there is beautiful.
It's so interesting you say that, because I've often said that about where I live in Christmas City, USA, Marinette, Wisconsin. That's not really catching on, I'm going to be honest.
Did you give yourself a nickname?
I'm trying. Like, the Chamber of Commerce never calls. I don't know what is happening, but we are on Green Bay. This is the same body of water. I look out my window, and I see Egg Harbor. And we are the same body of water. I feel like we haven't maximized our potential. And we're much farther north, But like I mentioned to you earlier, like this migration from, thanks to global warming or climate mm-hmm. change, whatever you want to call it, the Great Lakes are going to boom, dude. And yes. Gary, Indiana is going to have a comeback. So I think all of us on the Great Lakes are sitting pretty. We might not be here to see it, but, you know, planting a seed, I suppose.
Boy, that was an amazing story that ended really apocalyptically. yes. Good Lord.
That's my jam, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I love it here. I love Wisconsin. I've never lived anywhere else but here, but now that we have some roots down with a house, my wife and I and our tiny dog who's somewhere here, if she gets crazy, you'll hear her. But, you know, I mean, we're very lucky. We're very, very lucky, especially in today's day and age, to be able to afford to buy a home. Let me rephrase that. Afford to pay a bank to let us have a house. Right. But, I think down the road, it's a very good investment. So I'm happy about it.
So is it a good Valentine's Day town, Greg? Because this is our last live show before Valentine's Day. Are you a Valentine's guy?
Not really, no. My wife and I, we this is going to sound hokey and corny, so please spare me, or I beg of you patience for what I'm about to say. My wife and I kind of have this belief that Valentine's Day should be every day, so we're always like being cutesy and I love you and stuff like that. And on the day, we'll wish each other happy Valentine's, and this year it's on a Saturday, so we'll probably go out and grab some breakfast, but it's not like 2 dozen roses, chocolates, and I'm whisking you away to a weekend in Egg Harbor. It's just, you know, happy Valentine's Day. I love you, and I'll say it again the next day. And so.
I think it's true love when you reach a point in your relationship where you go, why did you buy me an $8 card? We're saving money here. Go to the dollar store, damn it. Yeah. Like, and I'm part of that anyway. I feel like enough with capitalizing on and bilking money from people with like these ridiculous a card now, Greg. Christmas, birthday, first communion, whatever. So ridiculous.
I didn't realize you were rebelling against big card.
Oh man, listen, don't get me
started. So you just walk up to a 10-year-old on their first communion, throw some cash, go spend it somewhere you want. I don't care.
I just made my first communion a few weeks ago, so I'm of that. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. I do still have the leisure suit I made my first communion in years
ago. Oh, nice. Nice.
All right, so we know about that. I want to ask you about comedy in Milwaukee. You're a comedian. You own a comedy club. Mm-hmm. And to me, in the 90s, we spoke a little bit about this morning. You know, Milwaukee, I had been there in college to party. I went to high school in Marinette and junior high. I've never lived anywhere else in Wisconsin. So when I went up there from Chicago to do stand-up, I could not believe how hot the audiences were. They were fantastic. Are they still like that?
I mean, the ones that we would have, I mean, right now the club is closed, but we're working towards renovations and whatnot. But yeah, the audiences were always great. They were always in it to win it. They always wanted to have a good time. I mean, you think about it nowadays, like we're not talking about a place where you go pay $5 or $10 and whatever. You're paying money like anywhere between, whether it's us or somewhere else, between 20 to 30, maybe more, depending on where you're going. Wow. You want to have a good time, so you go in there excited. You go in there ready, and you go in there wanting the comedian to do well. That's the other thing, too, you try to instill into younger comics. It's like they don't want you to fail. They want you to do well, and it's your game to lose if you want. But this is how it works. If you give them a good time, they're going to love you. They're going to love you.
That's great. Do you have to kind of set the tone as a club owner or as someone who runs a club? Because I remember when I would work these clubs at various places, and you could tell the clubs that were really well run, and they kind of train the audiences not to be doofuses. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Have you done that?
Yeah. I mean, when you come in, we give you a spiel. We tell you the overview of the room, where's what and how to do things. And then we give you a little bit of this is what we expect of you. Okay. And we don't relay consequences, but we do make it clear that we have expectations for behaviors. And once the show begins, if you violate those expectations, we let you know. And you get a couple chances depending on your attitude, sometimes one, sometimes two, but we will enforce those rules and people will be thrown out.
That's great. Well, I wish you luck, and we'll keep touching base about the new space. I'm very excited to see that. It is a great comedy town, and I'm glad that you're reopening there. All right, so Greg Bach is my guest, folks. He is the host of Civic Media Mid-Mornings here on the network. Does such a great job, and also a very funny comedian, club owner. We've established all of Greg's many professions here. You and I talked earlier about One Battle After Another and Sinners, mm-hmm. the two front runners for this year's Best Picture Oscar and probably Best Director. Yeah. You thought, in I thought you took the conversation in an interesting direction because you said these why we resurrect these legacy brands and rarely get mm-hmm. big payoffs, like from some of the franchise movies. We hit yes. on that, and are you a comic book guy or a franchise film guy, or do you prefer these kind of films?
I mean, when it comes to it depends on the franchise, honestly. But when it comes to comic book movies, I would say that I'm kind of 50-50 in the world. Like I read some comic books, but I don't read a lot. I'm not adept at it. I watch a lot of comic book movies. I understand the motivation of the franchise when it comes to comic book movies. It's fairly new as opposed to, maybe, say, a Star Wars or Indiana Jones. So it's going to keep going, of course. You know, Marvel's not going to, they're not coming out tomorrow and be like, yeah, you know, we're done, pack it up. And then 10 years later, they resurrect it. That I understand is going to keep going. The newly renovated DCU is going to keep going. I'm talking about like things like Indiana Jones or Jurassic Park or Transformers or Tron, where these things that Tron's probably in my opinion the best example, because you have a movie that came out in 1982. It didn't do well. What was it like 40? Plus years later, 39 years later, they release a sequel. It didn't do well. And then they're like, let's do this again with a totally different cast, totally different story, nothing to do really with the second one, kind of, but a little bit. And it didn't do well. And it kills that franchise. And then people who enjoy Tron, like I do, I probably won't see another Tron movie for at least another 10, 15 years. Even at that point, I'm like, we don't have to do this. There isn't a great deal of... I don't think there's a lot of payoff in these legacy sequels, these legacy reboots. You know, some do well, some don't. It depends on how much money you're spending on it. But like a lot of times they do middling to do poorly, and then that just kind of ruins their reputation and legacy. So I don't get it. Whereas you can say like, all right, we'll spend $50 million on this idea. It's a brand new idea. It could be something. It might not be. But at least at the end of the day, we might not lose our shirts. Whereas, like, we spent $700 million on this, and they lose everything.
And it's funny because, like, you talked about the Tron reboot or remake, whatever they want to call it. Jeff, that was, like, early AI or CGI, whatever. And Jeff Bridges looked mm-hmm. really strange in the movie. I'm always fascinated, too, why Hollywood does remakes of movies that didn't even do that well. Like, there's not that much of a drought of material.
No, there's not. There's tons. You said it before. You alone have tons of scripts sitting there waiting for someone. If you are one person, I have to imagine that there has to be tens of thousands of, whether it's TV shows or movies out there, you can find good ideas and mine them and work on them and make something out of it. I mean, back in the early days of film, they would make like 50 films a year and hope 3 to 5 of them made money. I'm not saying that a studio should make 50 films a year, but I think financially it makes more sense to put less money into smaller projects and grow them versus putting your entire bag of money on one or three films throughout a year, and one may do well and the other two just bomb, especially in today's day and age where it takes a lot to get people to come to the theaters.
It's funny you say that, and I was thinking about our conversation earlier, and I kind of trashed studios executives, and I didn't mean to do that. There are some that are very sharp, but some mm-hmm. that, you know, I have one project, and the guy says it's a smaller studio, but a very well-known studio. You get this actor with the script, we'll do it. There's no development anymore. It's all marketing. Mm-hmm. And then you've got other people, as a writer, you're totally at their mercy. I talked about this with one of my guests a few weeks ago. We were, my writing partner and I sold a script to Warner Brothers called Dreamgirl. Really funny story. And Jamie Kennedy was attached to it, who you probably know from, he's also a
Son of the Mask.
Yeah. So that killed our project. He decided to do Son of the Mask before our original story, which was like a Notting Hill meets Fatal Attraction. He decided to follow Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Like, why would you do that? Why would your people let you do that? Why would the studio let you do that?
Because some agent, some manager, some person got in their head and said, you know, if you do this, you could be the next Jim Carrey. That's exactly. I guarantee you at least one person said that in his ear. You can be the next Jim Carrey. and it tanked his career, and he only went downhill from here. But I don't understand it. I don't get it, but I'm also not a studio executive. They have board members, they have bottom lines, they have stockholders, they have all those things, and they have to answer to all of them, so they have to go for the short bet for big money, but it just doesn't feel like they're making a lot of it.
Absolutely. All right, Greg Bach is here, folks, host of Civic Media Mid-Mornings. We'll have a few more minutes with Greg on the other side of this very short break, and we'll ask Greg what his favorite winter Olympic sport is, and what else we want to do. You already corrected me about Thunder and Lightning. I really wish you were more of an expert, but you're forgiven. We'll do all this.
Sorry.
We're coming right back. Greg Bach is here, folks. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
That's some funky Tron music right there, folks. Mm-hmm. Well done, Aaron Zomers. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. Welcome back. We got texts on our question the other night, and I hate missing these, but sometimes they go to that. There's like social media, then it goes to the subversive social media part. For the greatest invention on National Inventors Day, Denise O'Neill says the fly swatter. That's a great one. And then Vicky Savakina said, what do you like on your pizza? And her veggies and maybe some vegan pepperoni.
Hmm.
And then Monica Hale on what is the most Olympic, this is tonight's question, the most exciting to watch. She says, I had a cat who passed away who loved to watch slaloms, and we'd watch it together sitting beside each other. When the buzzer would go off for the skier to leave the gate, she would look at the TV, and then her eyes and head would be darting around as the skiers bounced up and down until they reached the bottom. Then her gaze would drift to something else until the next buzzer sounded, and she'd do it all over again. May not have been the most exciting, but it's my favorite memory of watching the Olympics. That's great, Monica.
That's
Thank
cute.
You so much. Greg Bach is here, ladies and gentlemen. He's the host of Civic Media Mid-Mornings here on the network, and love it when he's on Nightlight. Greg, have you heard of this sport, Run Nation Championship?
No. Tell me more, please.
Okay, these two dudes square off, and they get a running start and just run into each other. And one of them typically is either knocked out, has a concussion, whatever. One of them goes down. It is the most simplistic, barbaric, even more so than UFC or MMA or the slapping of the faces. This is just two massive objects running at each other. It's beautiful.
I feel like if there's ever a perfect distillation of regular society now, it's that. If you want to see, that's social media personified right there.
Right, exactly. Do you have a favorite? Are you an Olympics guy, Greg? Do you have a favorite winter Olympic sport?
I watch it when I can. I like watching it. I will say, and this may sound very basic, and it's because it's very Midwestern, and I think it's hated on a lot, but I love curling. I love watching curling because I feel, and I know this for a fact, because one Mr. James Kimmel, who is a late night host on ABC, referred to it last week as the most unathletic sport there is. And he said that while these people were sweeping the ice so quickly, I'm like, if anybody in that audience tried to do that, they would die. Their shoulders would fall off, their arms. I understand the idea that you may think there's no athletics, but to do what they do, they are world-class athletes loving what they do. And I love watching because it's such a slow-moving sport, and there's such seriousness, but people get so excited. I love curling.
And the way their feet move, too. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to stay on your feet. You can't slip. Yep. You are on ice. And I've come around. Like, I think it was just Monday I was making fun of curling because I was so excited to get home Saturday night after seeing Anaconda, and my wife and I got food, and we got home. We turn on the Olympics. Yeah. Boom. Sweeping. No thanks. Yeah. But now, it was on at the gym last night, and I was watching it. I was kind of doing a deep dive from a watcher standpoint. I'm like, I'm sure there's something there I don't get, and I have total respect for them. So that's pretty cool.
there are a lot of curling clubs here in Wisconsin, and they are serious. They are good people, but they take it seriously. You don't cut down curling, and that's so that for and for me, I just like watching because also it just feels like a very Midwestern sport.
Yeah, exactly. And there was a group from Madison I know that won the gold medal like within the last 20 years or something like that. So that's kind of cool.
Boom.
All right. So Greg Bach, where were you at on the Super Bowl? Did you watch it?
Mm-mm.
Okay. No. Oh, good for you. I love people that just don't watch popular things. I really mean that. No, honestly,
Pete, are you the guy who says things like, you know, I used to love the Postal Service before it got really popular?
But I have defended the Postal Service my entire life. I don't like that it's privatized.
I'm talking about the band, not the actual business, but okay.
Well, then you lost me. I don't know.
Man, when it was the Pony Express, that's when it was cool. Not Horse anymore. Code. Sold
Horse
out.
Code, baby.
Absolutely. I don't watch the Super Bowl, and it's not because of anything. It's not usually that interesting to me. Watch the halftime show. Here's a question really quick. I know we don't have much time, but do you feel like the commercials kind of got washed over this year? I feel like it used to be the commercials, and now no one's really talking about them at all this year. It's Bad Bunny, which is great, but like not even a memorable commercial that made people go, oh, wow. It's just no one cared.
Or even the ones I remember were just kind of like, ugh, okay. Yeah. I remember because Ted Danson was in it and it had bad AI. But I don't, some of the commercials, and we were talking about this the other night too. I remember when they were 20 years ago, it's like, oh, that was cool. That was cool. Now they're trying too hard, Greg. Yeah. They're like the bad comedian that goes on stage and is laughing at his own jokes to provide a laugh track. It's awful.
Yeah, yeah.
Let you go. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, buddy.
I was going to say, I usually catch up with those on YouTube the next day and just see what's good and what's not. That's how I get my news through YouTube, apparently.
No, that's kind of what I do too. Yeah. Totally. What are you binge watching? Anything you could share? We've got about a minute and a half or so.
Let's see here. Right now I'm rewatching New Girl cause I'm that guy. And, but I'm also, we just got done. We're watching the show, High Potential. Will Trent. Mm. I finished Landman.
What'd you think of that?
Yeah, yeah. And then I'm waiting for Elsbeth and Matlock to come back on the air because they've been off for a couple months. But yeah, keeping up with some shows, light comedies, dramas, nothing super serious or scary or anything like that. Can't think of anything. I mean, I'm hesitant about the new Ted Lasso season this summer, but I'll still watch it.
Man, I'm in the minority. That show makes no sense whatsoever.
So you don't like Happiness? Cool.
I like Happiness when it's plausible. There are plenty of ways where Happiness can be realistic. This will be something we could talk about in the future, Greg. We'll get into that and maybe some Landman next time too. But I appreciate your time tonight, pal. Always
fun. Thank
you
for having me on.
You got it. Have a great night.
You guys, take care.
Thank you. All right, check out Civic Media Mid-Mornings. Greg does a great job. And we will... we're going to break for news, sports, and weather. We're going to come back. We're going to read some texts, maybe a slow dance, a few laughs. We'll figure it out, folks. We're talking Door County Film Festival next hour as well in Act 3. So come on back. This is Pete Schwabba at Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.